sermon has been entitled The Importance of Evangelism. I hope that as a congregation we grow into a understanding of our supreme duty and responsibility to be a congregation that is not only inward focused in appropriate ways, but also, and certainly for that reason, outward focus. In other words, simply put, you and I are being trained, we are being instructed in God's word so that we are better equipped to leave this place and find our place in the world where God has put you. And you may not like your place in that world, you may not like where you work, you may not like how this world operates. For Christians, there seem to be more and more challenges in the workplace because we are more and more getting the subtle and not so subtle messages from our secular neighbors that we are really not all that welcome in this world anymore. It is forgotten that the Christian faith is responsible for pretty much all of the, not all, but a big chunk of the ministry of healing and mercy that is still done today around the world. All kinds of educational schools and universities that are praised for their, academic standing today from a secular perspective. Many of those, like Yale and Princeton and what have you, they had Christian Judeo roots to them. And it was the idea that the nation of America, as young as it was, would from the beginning have a foundation upon which to build that nation. And the best way they knew was to do that from the principles and norms and values of the Judeo-Christian faith. But today it's a different world. It's not the day that I have known, even. And I'm not that old. I'm older than Jacob, by far. But I remember the day when my wife and I were students at Reformed Bible College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And one of the courses we took was on evangelism. And it may not be a surprise to you, Reformed Bible School that was started with the mission, the purpose of training young people for the cause of missions. Evangelism obviously included. And there was this book that we used called Evangelism Explosion. I think some of us recognize that book, that title, James Kennedy from Florida. He's gone and now with the Lord. He had a background in business as a salesperson, if I recall correctly, and then he was called to the ministry. And he wrote that book, and it was used by countless men and women over the decades. But recent decades, it's not as popular anymore, I think. But evangelism explosion. The evangel, the good news, has such power to it. There's such energy in God's word, in the good news, that it can set the world on fire. And I don't mean the kind of fires that burn in California year to year, and other places, maybe here in Colorado as well. I don't talk about revolutionary power that we see also around the world exploding in various places. We're talking about the gospel power. And so this passage that we're looking at today from Romans chapter 10 is, of course, a real gem, a real jewel, a real beautiful passage that reminds us all that we have a responsibility. It's sad to say, when I have that as a first point, preaching is necessary, it's almost kind of dumb that you even have to make that point in the sermon. Preaching is necessary. But I don't know what kinds of people hang around with, I have known from the past, but it is true, and sadly true, that within the Christian church, there are not a few who claim to be Christians who have a very low view of the call to missions and the call to evangelism. They don't see it as particularly helpful that we Christians go and try to seek the conversion of other people. It is deemed as presumptuous. It is deemed as unnecessary. And so this real passion and sense of urgency in the local church to understand its responsibility to be evangelistic, to bring the wonderful good news of salvation to all the nations of the world, including men and women and young people in the city of Colorado Springs. The fact that people no longer see that as important, necessary, desirable, is not only shocking, but disturbing, and it should be disturbing to all of us. It has to do with, I think, a lowered view of Scripture. It has to do with what Scripture teaches us about the human condition and how necessary it is for any human being to be hearing the Word of God. Because without the hearing of the Word of God, you have cut yourself off from the possibility, shall we say, of the very salvation that all of us are in need of. And so as we think about this passage and we think about Paul's continued argument in chapters 9 through 11, where he specifically focuses his attention on his fellow Jews, fellow Israelites, then we have noticed that in chapter 9 and now in chapter 10, and he will again in chapter 11, he expresses his concern, his heartfelt concern for his fellow Jewish people. And that continues in chapter 10 as well, of course. And so he is explaining to us why it is necessary for his own people, as well as the Gentiles, to hear the proclamation of God's good news to all people. So, what is the task of evangelism? What is the task, you might say, of preaching? It is a joyful task. If I didn't find this task joyful, I wouldn't be standing here. It doesn't mean that the joyful task of preaching the gospel doesn't bring with it some concerns and some heavy moments when you reflect on the seriousness of God's word and what it teaches us regarding God's holiness and justice and righteousness. And it is said in this passage, it is for man given to live once and then the judgment, and to die and the judgment. All of that makes this a very grave ministry, this ministry of preaching. But it is a joyful one because it is God's prescribed means by which he brings his joy into the hearts and lives of young people as well as adults all around the world. I hope that we can grow in this missions-mindedness as a congregation when we hear the reports of what God is doing in people's lives around the world, particularly in Muslim countries. There are people who are coming to faith in Christ by large numbers. The church in Iran is the fastest growing church around the world at this time, some people say. And so, how can they believe unless the gospel of good news is brought to them? Or do we too think that the gospel is not really that urgent to share? Is it enough, maybe, at Covenant Church that we just find ourselves pleased and content with the weekly sermons, and we are going to just learn more and more without this idea that with privilege comes responsibility. Noblesse oblige is what the French say. With this privilege of having the gospel comes the obligation that we have to take this food that we receive and have it digested through the Holy Spirit so that it becomes available to the world, to the men and women right around us, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our streets, and where we work and go to school. Preaching is urgently necessary. And the way by which Paul communicates that urgency is by the way he argues for this. Let's look for a moment at verses 14 and following. I'll read that again. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And fourthly, how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, the beautiful, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? There are all these "they's," by the way. Paul is not making it very specific. But one of the things that needs to be noted is that, first of all, 14 follows on the heels of 13, which is the sort of universal scope, worldwide scope yet, where it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Jew or Gentile. And then he narrows it back to his main focus, his fellow Jews, and he says, and how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Many of us, maybe all of us, have sort of assumed that this passage is always about the call that God sends to Christians to consider the call of missionary life. I think that is an appropriate application, implication, deduction, if you will. But in context, Paul is speaking to his own people, first of all. And so how will the Jews call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him? And it says, of whom, but one person considered that the Greek suggests as in whom they have never heard, but whom they have never heard. So that focuses the attention on Christ, not about Christ, but Christ himself. How will they hear, how will they believe, unless somebody is sent to preach to them? And so here you feel the burden that Paul has for his own people. Don't give up on the Jews, but continue to pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends to his own people messengers. Because it is absolutely necessary that any person, Jew or Gentile, is going to have the words of life spoken to them. It is only by the way of the public preaching and teaching, proclamation, witnessing as well, of the words of life to another person, that this other person, Jew or Gentile, can come to faith. I hope that we understand this. I hope that our hearts are waking up to this more and more. The Word of God is such a wonderful tool that God has given us. He has given us a revelation of himself. And as Christians, we are dry, we are thirsty. And when we read the word, it is like a refreshing drink. And it just permeates our soul and our whole being. And it revives us and it renews us. For the purpose of sharing that word. Our text refers to it as the word of Christ. The message we proclaim, the evangel, the good news, is to be taken to the world, to your family members, to your neighbors, to your colleagues, your boss, or the one working under you, if you will. All the nations must hear the preaching of the word. Preaching is necessary. I remember as a young person, I think I would say if I wanted to talk about a conversion, it would have been under one of my pastors when I was a teenager. I was 17 years old. I was heavily involved in the game of soccer, and I was doing fairly well at that, I might say. And I would sit in church And I would have this pastor, new pastor, young pastor, preach to us. And I realized pretty quickly that I liked him. He had good sermons, gospel-centered, Christ-centered sermons. But I would be dozing off, as it were, in my mind. And I was replaying in my mind the game of the day before. And it was really brought home to me as the Lord himself did that, I think, through his ministry, that we need to know what is important, what is not so important. We need to know what we need to set aside. It's not that soccer was evil, not sinful, but it was telling me that soccer in my life cannot gain such ascendancy that it takes the place of God, really. And so there had to come a change. I think that the Lord used that preaching ministry in my life as a young person to make me a more committed follower of Christ. So preaching is necessary because preaching involves change. Preaching is the means that God uses. It's a wonderful means, but it can also be a disciplinary means. When the truth comes to me and it steps on my toes, I don't like it very much. And that's where it works as discipline. But it's not because God doesn't love you, as if that were being confirmed by being disciplined by his word. It is that he calls you, and he's inviting you. And he's saying, I have a much better life for you than the world can ever offer you. I have the gospel. I have Christ. I have the cross. I have the resurrection. I have the ascended Savior on the throne in heaven. What do you have? What do you have if you're not a Christian? Show me what you have. Make me jealous about your life, what you live for, if you can. And I'll tell you, you cannot. Because when you have discovered the glorious message of grace for sinners via the cross given to you, then nothing, not Black Lives Matter, not the environment, not liberating the Palestinians, or all of these causes that people are seemingly almost willing to at least, you know, demonstrate for. But without Christ, these causes are empty. They don't aim at anything but this world. This is a passing world. So let's assume for a moment that everything is going to be great in America. No more racism. No more injustice. Well, let me be the first one to say, I would long for a society like that. But without the cross, without Christ, what do we have? It ends when this world comes to an end at the return of Christ. You've got nothing to show for. And I think that if you take the Bible seriously enough, there will never be such utopia. We live in a sinful world, a broken world, and you and I are a part of that. We are a part of the problem. But Christ came to solve it. And little by little, Calvin would say, degree by degree, you and I are being transformed by the grace of God so that we become men and women who truly mean business about racism. And we mean business about the environment. And we mean business about corruption and justice. Because we know Christ. So in our lives, there should be no disconnect. We should be the best examples of how a person ought to live. Our society should come together. Because we know that Christ came to transform and create something new out of that which is broken and fallen. That is why the gospel needs to be proclaimed. Preaching is necessary to change our lives, to change the lives of the people that we care about, and the nations around the world, because they must hear the word of God. Because without the hearing of the word of God, Jews and Gentiles both are kept from hearing the beautiful message of the good news. So preaching is necessary. Preaching must be heard. The Jews must hear. It's a sad commentary that the apostle gives about his fellow Jewish people, the Israelites, referred to as the they. How beautiful he says on the feet, in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed. It's a euphemism, by the way. Not all. It means the opposite. The majority have not believed. They have not all obeyed the gospel. And then he uses in these 8 verses 6 Old Testament references. It's almost as if Paul is saying by the end of his argument, now don't take my word for it. These are 6 testimonies of Scripture. Moses and the prophets, the word of God himself, that are speaking these truths to you. And that's where the argument rests. And so he quotes from Psalm 19:4, verse 4, which has nothing to do with salvation of people. But it is that, let me read verse, few verses. I have my small little pocket Bible with me. It's so handy over the years. I read the first few verses of 19. And it goes like this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. It's as if it's the word of God. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice, and that's the voice of the elements of creation, goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The Apostle Paul feels completely free to sort of retool the interpretation of that when he applies it to the word of the gospel going into all the world and be known by all the world. And so we have all these verses that the Apostle Paul uses to make his case that, you know what, it was not an issue of their hearing. It was not a matter of understanding, but it is a matter of refusing. The entire history of the Israelite people seems to be that they are a stiff-necked people, stubborn, and they refuse to reciprocate the very love that God had for them. Read Moses' own words in Deuteronomy 7, 8, and so forth. They were God's chosen people, not because they were better than anybody else, because God simply loved them. Just like he loves you. Just like he loves you because, not because you're a Gentile and not a Jew, but he loves you because he loves you. So, in a way, that doesn't help you very much. But that is the intention. The gospel is now, the window of gospel opportunity goes to the whole world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone would believe in him, not perish, but have life, everlasting life. We are who we are only because of the love of God, only because of the grace of God. And that's what the apostle is arguing. They heard the beautiful news. Their feet that delivered the messages from the Lord, the covenant God, there were many of those feet, but they did not hear it as they should have. Jesus, in various passages in the New Testament, he talks about, you may be hearing but not understanding. Are you hearing today? Are you understanding today? And that is an understanding by faith. Are you asking the Lord when you come to church on a Sunday morning, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian either. I'm not sure that I understand your word in terms of all its implications in my life. But will you open my mind? Will you open my heart? Will you, Holy Spirit, make this a profitable time when we are in the house of the Lord? Will you open my heart and mind so I may understand and may see even the beauty of your news, your good news? And so the urgency is that all nations really must come to faith. For as he said in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you saved? Are you understanding? Are you listening? And are you obeying? Are you believing? For then you shall be saved. That's not my word. That's not my promise. That's not by my authority. But it's by the authority of God Almighty. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for proclamation of your good news. How exciting it is to see how your gospel is changing the lives of men and women around the world. We just wish, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would bring about conversions, changes in people's lives by greater numbers. We are realizing, Lord, that you have blessed us, and so we want to pass on that blessing to others, the whole world. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will prompt us all, one and all, here at this congregation, to be believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And then also evangelists. When we, as you did to Israel, we are reaching out our hands to all men and women. And whether they are men and women we like or dislike or have any other reservations about people, Father, may we be completely blind to whomever it is you place on our path and to accept the challenge to reach them with the gospel. For it is by your gospel that they too shall be saved. So hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.